Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Alarmy. Check out Alarmist on Patreon for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Here's a preview of our Guest Alarmist series, only on Patreon.
That really?
He's the inventor of the flush toilet. Yeah, John Crapper.
No, yeah. You're kidding.
Yeah. I'm looking.
I'm serious. I'm not
John
joking.
Crapper is the inventor of the flush toilet.
John Crapper, Thomas. Stop. He was.
Oh, that's why crap is crap?
Yeah.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now, on to our episode.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today, we're discussing the assassination of Julius Caesar. Here's what you need to know. The fall of Julius Caesar began with the story of the Republic of Rome. Around 500 BC, Tarquin the Proud, a tyrannical king of Rome, was overthrown by Lucius Junius Brutus. This event marked the end of Roman monarchy and the beginning of one of the most famous and imitated systems of government, the Roman Republic. The sanctity of the Republic became almost religious for many Romans, and it was the challenge to that sanctity that caused so much turmoil and ultimately led to the death of Julius Caesar. Gaius Julius Caesar was born in July of the year 100 BC. He was born to a family of some prominence, and in his early teens, he became interested in public speaking and philosophy. His father died when he was just 16, and a few years later, he married the daughter of a political figure, and because of this, posed a threat to the powerful Roman leader, Lucius Cornelius Sulla. Sulla marked him for death, and Caesar fled Rome. Sulla would later lift the death sentence, but Caesar felt safer outside the confines of the great city, and set his sights on a military career. In 78 BC, Sulla died and Caesar returned to Rome, where he developed himself into an effective public speaker. He briefly returned to military service in Asia and became a military tribune, the first step in his political career. In 67 BC, he was appointed to the Senate. Caesar was adept at positioning himself as a populist hero, culling favor from the Roman people by arguing in court cases and funding extravagant shows with wild animals and gladiators. Caesar's stock was rising, and he had his eyes set on acquiring one of the highest posts in Roman office, that of consul. To achieve this, he created a triumvirate, deftly bringing together two political rivals, Crassus and Pompey, and himself. It worked perfectly. With his position fortified in Rome, Caesar set out to conquer neighboring lands, including Germania, Britannia, Turkey, North Africa, Hispania, and Gaul. He had amassed enormous wealth and had the loyalty of tens of thousands of troops, all of whom benefited from these various triumphs. He was lavished with titles by the aristocracy, who feared him and his ever-growing popularity. In 53 BC, Caesar's daughter Julia died giving birth to Pompey's child, causing a rift between Caesar and Pompey. The triumvirate crumbled, and Pompey, persuaded by Cato and Cicero, who were wary of Caesar's growing influence, designed plans to undercut Caesar. Pompey and his conspirators made the Senate declare that if Caesar returned to Rome, he would be arrested for excesses of office. A defiant Caesar immediately made his way back to Rome, and when he crossed the Rubicon River at the border of his province, he effectively started a civil war. Pompey tried to drum up a worthy army, but Caesar's forces were too much. Caesar defeated Pompey and was awarded dictator perpetuus, meaning he had complete power over all of Rome in perpetuity. There was now no difference between Caesar and a king. This was a nightmare for every senator and anyone who believed in the Roman Republic. On the 15th of March, 44 BC, a few days before he was set to leave on another military expedition, Caesar attended a final meeting of the Senate. The night before, his wife, Calpurnia, had nightmares and pleaded with him to stay home. Not long ago, a soothsayer had told Caesar to beware the Ides of March. But Caesar was convinced by members of the Senate to stick to his scheduled affairs of state. Before the meeting started, he was attacked. Dozens of senators, many not trained in fighting, unsheathed daggers and stabbed their dictator. Caesar, betrayed by many he considered close allies, fell in a pool of his own blood and died on the Senate floor. Fun facts, aka death stats. Gaius Julius Caesar, age 55, died in mere minutes, succumbing to 23 wounds from 60 people in front of 200 officials. Caesar was the first living Roman to ever appear in coinage. Most people assume Caesar was killed in the Roman Senate House or on the Capitoline Hill, as Shakespeare details in his play. However, the assassination took place in Pompey's Senate House, ironically built by Caesar's great rival. Emperor Augustus later declared the hall a locus sceleratus, or a cursed place, and it was walled up. Both Brutus and Cassius eventually would take their own lives, Cassius with the very dagger that he had used in the assassination. There's no evidence that Caesar ever actually uttered et tu, Brute, words made famous from William Shakespeare's play Julius Caesar.
Et tu, Brute, then fall, Caesar.
With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is comedian Deanne Smith. Hi, Deanne.
Hi, guys. I'm so psyched about this.
Oh, we are so psyched. And I just want our listeners to know that, I mean, you have a lot of stuff coming up. You have a yeah. Netflix special that comes out March 5th. You're part of Hannah Gatsby's Gender Agenda Netflix special.
Yeah, that's right.
And our listeners can also check you out on Netflix. You have another special as well.
You're very special. You're very special.
In 2019, Netflix released 47 half-hour specials on the same day.
Wow.
They called it Comedians of the World, and it was a very cool project to be a part of. But we all kind of got buried. It was 47 specials on the same day. So if you want to see mine from 2019, recorded 2018, I feel the need to say this because I believe that it really holds up. Go to Comedians of the World and then Canada, and then you'll find me first up in that little batch.
Right.
I mean, we have to jump right in with Julius Caesar and the assassination because it's such a massive topic. I'm honestly surprised that in our 4.5 years of doing this podcast, we're finally tackling just a little piece of the Roman Empire, you know?
Right. The Roman Empire had like a moment for a minute there a couple like years ago. Wasn't it like a meme?
Months ago.
That guys like the Roman Empire. Do you guys remember?
Right.
That?
Yeah. So now that's everyone. Like,
sorry, a relatively recent thing, yes. I think. But the way that time moves these days, I think it's reasonable, Chris, that you said, wasn't that like a few years
ago? Right. It's true.
Yeah. But like, what do we know what started that new? Was there somebody who posted something about? I don't know how that all that started, but there was like, Rome had like a resurgence recently.
You're talking about how people are saying like that's my Roman Empire, that phrase, right? Is that the phrase that you're referring to?
Is that what I'm talking about?
That's what I'm thinking of. I feel like
that's
like,
what I'm thinking of.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm talking about. We're doing this episode because of the Ides of March, right, Rebecca?
Yes. Ides of March are coming up.
What are the Ides of March?
It's the 15th of March. Ides just means halfway in. So like the 15th, it could be the Ides of April. It could be the Ides of July, but really
we don't often hear about the Ides of July.
No.
I think we need to bring this back, and not even just for months. Like, you know what? In the Ides of my last relationship.
Beware the Ides of it.
in the Ides of the dinner that I'm having, I like to take a little bathroom break, like in the middle.
Yes.
The Ides of this cookie, so you shouldn't finish it.
I wonder what's going to happen at the Ides of this podcast.
That's true.
Exactly.
Oh my God, we should mark the Ides of the podcast.
Yes. I know. Rebecca, you better watch out because if this is the Ides of anything, it's kind of you're the one at the most risk here.
I know. I'll say something stupid for sure in the Ides of this.
Yeah.
And then Deanne will take over your spot.
Right.
I'm ready. Oh, shit. I gave it away. I mean,
well, much like the people who betrayed Julius Caesar. They were ready to, and they made it very, it feels like they made it very clear. And in order to discuss what led to this, assassination, I feel like we do have to talk about the Republic and, you know, it's at a crossroads at this time. It's, you know, 44 BC and, for almost 500 years, the Republic has been a way of life, and in comes Julius Caesar. He's threatening all of it, and I'm struck by just like 500 years. That's a long time. I mean,
yeah, they had a good run.
United States is not even 500 years.
No,
are we in the Ides of our? Yeah.
There's no way this current system is making it to 500 years. I agree. There's no way.
No way. I totally agree. Yeah, we're like a little teenager compared to the Roman Republic. But go on.
Isn't that wild to think of, though? You know, it's 500 years of this empire being ahead of its time, really, because this is a time where kings rule. So in comes Caesar, and he's all of a sudden this appointed dictator.
Right.
And that is just a big no-no at this time. So we can put up on the board, first thing, I think, government-appointed dictator, no-no.
this is... And, but... But so go ahead.
This is from history. Caesar's increasingly autocratic reign further threatened the Republic. He bypassed the Senate on important matters, controlled the treasury, and earned the personal loyalty of the Republic's army by pledging to give retiring soldiers property from public land or use his personal fortune to buy it himself. He emblazoned his image on coins and reserved the right to accept or reject election results for lower offices. As Caesar transacted public business from a gold and ivory throne, rumors swirled that he would declare himself king. In the first weeks of 44 BC, Caesar was proclaimed dictator for life. His life, though, wouldn't last much longer. So
I'm struck by truly just how different this sounds than everything that's happening in the
United States. Right?
Wink, wink, wink.
Oh, God. I'm struck with how I haven't revisited the like topic of Julius Caesar in a while. And I think I forgot this. And I think my instinct was like, oh, Caesar, he was a good guy, right? Like,
right.
He was a good Roman. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Wow.
It's
I need
reversed.
To revisit my history.
Well, you know, that's why history is so powerful. And that's why
well,
I
there's
think
other
it's so
Caesars
important.
Too.
There are other Caesars.
So maybe I'm confusing, but
And I also think that you're not wrong to think that, you know, the narrative, you know, history is a story, right? And nothing is more powerful than the narrative we choose to tell when it comes to stories. And I think that for years, he has been applauded as, you know, a very good ruler who was betrayed. Right. There's this podcast that's like dictators and, you know, it's surprising that they do like a three part, you know, episode. It's a three parter section on Julius Caesar, because we don't think of him as this dictator. But that was like literally what was so challenging about him was the fact that he was challenging the Republic because he was so liked,
so loved, right?
Right.
And he was angling for that power. I mean, he was using it. It didn't just fall on him because like he was just that good. He was playing his cards. Caesar was actually pretty old
for his time.
I mean, we're talking about a time when people would die in their 20s. I'm assuming that was like it maybe honestly. Like
let me look up life expectancy of the time.
I mean, if what we recently did the 1918 pandemic and found out that in 1918 the life expectancy was what 40. So I can only imagine that, you know,
that feels way too recent.
Yes.
For that. Holy cow. Yeah.
So right around 33 years apparently in the Roman during the Roman Empire.
Caesar was 56. Or 50 in his 50. Can you find out, Chris, how old Caesar was
when he died?
55.
Yep. So
he was an elder.
Yeah, older guy. He had lived a long life. He had fought in many wars. He had brought a lot of success to the Roman Empire. He also spent a lot. He was liked by many of the Roman citizens because he knew how to throw a really good party and he knew how to spend that money. That didn't mean that he was good for them in the sense that he was spending too much money.
I think we should put extreme wealth on the board, because I feel like that is never a good thing.
I'm right. Also drawing the American parallel, and I'm like, if one of these yahoos would just honestly throw a party for us every once in a while, I think a lot of us could overlook
share some of the wealth,
care, lack of education. couple times a year, just like a big party, could be great.
Deanne, I think you're onto something. I wouldn't even say I need a party. It's just like, you know, when they steal a base in the World Series, everyone gets a free taco at Taco Bell. I feel like if somebody did that for me every other Tuesday, I'd be like, sure, you got my vote, you know?
Seriously.
Free tacos or like free pizza or something like that? That'd be enough for me, honestly.
I'd take like free,
bar's really low.
Free surgery. Just a free surgery for whenever you need it. That's what I would take. Doesn't have to be healthcare, but just like, give me some procedures that are free down the road. I'm going to need them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But Rebecca, I want to go back to what you were saying about his rise briefly and just ask this dictatorship. I think, and when an expert comes here and, you know, the dust clears and an expert comes in here, it was the dictatorship was given to him from the rest of the Senate, right? As sort of a way to appease him and his growing power. It wasn't so much that he, you know, it was partially, yes, him angling for this title and this position, but it was also sort of at the same point being thrust on him because of
popularity,
the fear that people had of him. I
think it wasn't a coup.
So, no, it wasn't a coup. So from my understanding, this is how it worked. They had a republic, that which means that they had 60 or so senators, and they all made decisions as a group, right? And there were elections. Every now and then, there were emergency situations where a dictatorship would be given to someone so that they could make decisions for a limited period of time. So whether it was 6 months or a year, you know, something where it was like, okay, you're going to rule for this time, and then it's going to go back to...
It was usually during wartime when they needed quick decisions, and they didn't have the time to run everything through the Senate, et cetera. So
Caesar, then there are civil wars that are happening because members of the Senate are and very powerful aristocrats are fighting for power, essentially. And, you know, this is a brutal, violent time. People would be murdered. You know, aristocratic families would then all of a sudden, you know, come to power. So that's going on at the time. So it's a very vulnerable time. Caesar's then given dictatorship for an extended period of time, and all he just keeps getting it all keeps getting extended,
right,
to the point where he's just said, okay, well, you're going to just be dictator for life.
Right.
And that's the beginning of the end for him.
So, you know, I don't know how we encapsulate that part of it, but maybe something like the slippery slope of temporary dictatorships. Like terms, you know, I don't know, like.
Well, it could just be lack of terms, exactly. like term limits, you know, like no.
Term limits, yeah.
Not term, clearly defined term limits.
Well,
anything that's going to exist in perpetuity is probably something should be avoided, I think.
Perpetuity feels dangerous. That's I think so. Because you can see how then, you know, the people are like, wait a minute, we have a republic. How are we giving someone a dictator for life title? That's right. It goes against everything we stand for.
Right.
So this is what happened. We only have one thing up on the board. I feel like we should also put up beef with coworkers. Because there's an attack that's been planned. And various senators have all agreed that they're going to assassinate Julius Caesar. Now, they all have daggers that have been hidden inside in their togas, and they all are essentially awaiting in this Senate meeting hall for Caesar to come. It's complicated. There are a few things we should be putting up on the board while we're discussing here. First of all, bringing a knife to a bar fight.
Okay.
I'll read this from World History. The attackers had chosen their weapon of choice wisely, a double-edged dagger of about 8 inches long instead of a sword. Daggers were better for close contact and would be hidden under their togas. The assassins chose to end Caesar's life themselves rather than by hiring killers, a decision that showed their seriousness of purpose. And by striking at a Senate meeting, they made it public a public act rather than a private vendetta, an assassination and not a murder. This was a professional operation, and it's even reflected in the killer's choice of weapon. Caesar's assassins attacked him with daggers and not, as is sometimes imagined, with swords. The latter were too big to sneak into the Senate house, too unwieldy for use in close quarters.
This was very planned.
I think we need to put the roominess of togas on the board. Mm,
yes.
I thought the same thing.
Were you really?
Yeah. I really did.
I mean, there's a lot of room to hide stuff in a toga, it seems.
What's going on under there? You know, it's like, why you got to wear a toga? There's something else you're hiding.
Well, could be anything. Could be anything.
Could be anything.
There was also a lot of them. So he was outnumbered, which we can also put up on the board, which is being outnumbered.
Yeah.
In an attack. This is from New York Post. Inside the Senate House at around noon, Caesar took a seat on his golden throne as his enemies took the stage, having snuck in daggers into their togas. Some of the conspirators stood behind his chair, while others gathered around him as if they were going to pay their respects or bring some matter to his attention. They were really forming a perimeter. Strauss said, it's likely that Caesar was initially surrounded by around 12 men, with more prepared to join in a second wave. Gladiatorial games took place in the theater on the Ides of March, which gave Decimus, who we'll talk about later, an excuse for deploying his gladiators near Pompey's Senate House. Their real purpose was as a backup security force.
This is stressing me out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just, imagine how that would feel to you if you were Caesar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the other guys. I mean, the stress, the tension. It's so intense.
And the tension that that happened because he wasn't not be wearing the Ides of March. So
he wasn't be wearing.
Maybe that should probably go up on the board. Not be wearing.
Not be wearing. Okay.
By the way, we're at about the Ides of the podcast. So beware the Ides of the podcast, whatever. I don't know what we're gonna talk about now, but it's right around the Ides of the podcast. I want us all to know that.
Okay. Thank you for that reminder.
Thank you.
I mean, may I just say, I'm just thinking about the potential future of the United States.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I just want to point out, Ari, the Ides of this podcast, I can't take over as host because Chris, Clayton, and I have not established trust.
That's true.
We don't have that kind of community yet. So I'm just reminding us all that maybe it's time to start organizing a bit as a community, establish trust, understand our care networks, et cetera, and then many of us can bring down one or two or three.
That's a great PSA. It really is.
I don't know. Just thinking about it.
What is so interesting is that Deanne, you are so outgoing with your desire to take down the host of the podcast, and I really am so struck by how similar that must have been, because it wasn't a secret that they all wanted power, and knew it. He was paranoid. He was he knew that stuff was gonna go down. I mean, I'm gonna gloss over a lot of these events, but the day before, he's taken out, he goes to dinner with Decimus, who I said we should probably put him up on the board.
Decimus, okay.
Good.
Yeah. He they're out to dinner, they're getting drunk, and he asks Julius Caesar, how would you like to die? And Julius Caesar says, a swift death is what I would like. This is March 14th. That night, they go to bed. His wife, Julius Caesar's wife, has these crazy dreams. She says the next morning, you shouldn't go to the Senate because I had these really bad dreams. There's been omens galore, right? Mm. Bad omens galore. You also had a soothsayer tell you, beware the Ides of March. Don't go. You're also hungover. Like, why don't you just stay?
Meanwhile, Julius is like, will this broad ever quit yet?
Yeah, I know.
Wives, am I right?
Yes. I mean, he apparently actually says, you're right, I'm going to stay home. So he listens. It's the first time in history a man has listened to his wife. Okay? And she was right. She was right. But then Decimus comes back. And, word has gotten out that Julius Caesar is not coming to the Senate, And these people are like, oh shit, like we have to kill him. We said we were going to kill him today. He's going to go out to war in a few days and he's going to be gone right. for like 3 years. This is our one chance. So they go and they convince him to come to the Senate because there are some matters that are important and, you know, it would be a bad look if he didn't show up.
Guys.
So, yeah.
I know I'm not the host of this podcast yet. And it's not really my place to assign Chris tasks. Uh-huh. And maybe everybody already knows this, but I'm just wondering, does the word decimated come from Decimus. Our buddy Decimus? Right,
we'll oh my God.
That's a great question.
His name sounds so foreboding to me. And I think that connection
and
is
there
why.
There are so many like phrases that originate with the in this era. And words too. July is for Julius.
Yeah.
August is for Augustus. All right, let me see. Decimus.
I'm thinking of cesarean section. That's
I think right. it has to be connected.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a rumor. Crossing the Rubicon. While you're checking up on that, so I believe it's Decimus who then comes back and says we gotta go to the Senate, finally convinces him. They head over to the Senate. He's, you know, it's like half a mile or something from Caesar's house to it's actually not the Forum where he dies. It's at Pompey's theater. Pompey is an old rival. They that's where the gladiator games, I believe, happen. Pompey is dead at this point. If you recall our Cleopatra episode, Cleopatra's in town. It's not helping that he's already having this big time affair with a queen. It's a bad look. It looks like he also wants to be a king. And as he's walking to where they're having this meeting, the crowds are outside. They're cheering him on. Someone runs up to him, gives him a note that is supposed to warn Caesar about what's about to happen. He just puts it in his pocket, goes inside.
Again, those roomy togas, he lost it inside his toga.
Coming back around.
Too many pockets.
Also, how many notes was this guy just receiving from random people? That he was
lot.
Like, I'll see that later.
Yes.
I would check it immediately. Yeah. Yeah. He just handed me a note. What's going on?
Maybe
but
he's
I think
the
it was common. With me?
Yeah. What if it was like, hey, do you want to? Yes or no?
That's such a good observation, Deanne, because that from what I've read, it was common to get notes.
Okay.
So you wouldn't just, you know, run to read a note that someone gave you.
It wasn't out of the way. Okay.
So
Decimus is a Latin word for tenth too. So to cut or to tax by tenth or to like destroy into tenths, like des is
des.
Ten.
Right.
So I'm gonna. It's gonna take a little more. So to decimate would. Decimate, I think, is like to destroy a tenth of. So it's like to
like a decimal.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the Dewey Decimal System?
Oh, here we decimal go. Decimal, decibel. It's all connected.
Oh my God. We should also talk about some of the other players who are maybe
Cato,
other
Cassius.
Cassius, Brutus. That's the big one.
Do we want them on the board? All of these people, Brutus for sure, right?
Brutus and Cassius, they're the two mastermind Roman senators.
Okay.
And not only are they vying for power in the Senate, but they also, they're human. And they have like this, what feels like this soap opera kind of drama amongst them.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of like interconnected like romance and like.
Yes. A lot of affairs. Everyone was screwing around in Rome.
Was Caesar bisexual, or are these just the rumors?
Unclear. There were rumors. Yeah, it's possible. There apparently was a king that when he was younger and he was off to war that he really got along with, and who like gave him favors during that time. It was rumored that they had some kind of relationship. I wouldn't put it past it.
Yeah.
Possible.
He was Suetonius, who was a historian at the time. he, oh, Siri thinks I'm talking to her. No, I'm not. Suetonius wrote that Caesar was known to his soldiers as, quote, every man's woman and every woman's man.
Ooh.
Mm. Oh, hell yeah.
I think that they were obviously way more progressive and less
sexually
of,
liberated, less puritanical.
Yeah, there was a lot more kind of sexual liberation at the time.
Sure.
Especially would've if you were cool. a man, especially if you were a man, you could do Why whatever not? You wanted.
Right.
Right. Right.
Guys, can we pause for a minute? Can you imagine being known as every man's woman or every woman's man?
Sounds fun. Like, well,
it feels exhausting, honestly, Dan.
If you want the title, then you're a lucky person.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Sounds incredible.
Maybe just a few right. of women's men.
Yeah, men's. Some man's.
Some are just like, yeah, like a cult, like a cul-de-sac's worth of.
That's why he was so loved. That's yes! why everyone loved him. He was so loved. Giving.
I need to make a horrible joke. What we didn't know is that they were spelling dictator with a K. All right.
Yeah, let's go.
That's what they meant. It was just a miscommunication. It wasn't That's about right. power. I have a question. I have I'll try and articulate this quickly, but like in this, I just want to say this and maybe you guys can respond. Okay. What if, I mean, it's this kind of like democratic time. He's so loved. Like, what is the risk of just like putting it to the people? I realize that there's like some senators who are also power hungry and they're also trying to protect this republic. But I also feel like it's loaded to say that in today's terms because there's so much misinformation, but back then, like, it's not like a bunch of fake news going around per se. It's just like based on his conquests and his reputation and his whatever. So, like,
so wonder, you're asking why not leave it to a vote to vote him as the dictator? Is that what you're saying?
Why not put it to the people, right? Like, if it was a true like kind of democratic process and they were I guess I'm just like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean,
from my understanding, it's not like what we think of today as democracy, you know, it's more like governing by group of really powerful, already aristocratic, rich men.
Wait, that is what I think U.S.
Yeah.
democracy.
Yeah, it is. Literally that.
I guess
you just said it wasn't
yeah,
like
yeah.
today.
I meant like our what... ideal of what we think is happening.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
It's
yeah.
more
what
of
we
like.
Wish were happening.
Yes. Right. Yes. So
and
it's
he
not...
was the descendant of like, I mean, there was a lot of like political family dynasties kind of like there are. There's a little yeah. bit of that too. It's all the same. History's
yeah.
just
it's repeating itself. Let here, maybe this will help. You know, maybe we can uncover the drama a little bit here and it'll help understand like what the dynamics were amongst okay. these men. This is from History Extra. In the summer of 45 BC, Brutus divorced his wife and remarried. His new bride was Portia, his cousin and far more pertinently to the story, daughter of Caesar's late arch enemy Cato. Crucially, in the winter of 44 BC, Caesar's opponents began calling on Brutus to uphold the tradition of his ancestors, who included the founder of Roman Republic, Lucius Junius Brutus, the man who right. had led the expulsion of Rome's kings hundreds of years earlier.
Okay.
And so through a combination of pride, principle, and perhaps love for his wife, Brutus turned on Caesar. So Brutus comes from a long line of liberators, essentially.
Right.
So he feels like he can't, if there's a fall of the Republic, it's already going to land on him. There was literally graffiti around the city of Rome saying things like, thou art asleep, Brutus. Thou art not Brutus. You know, so people are already like calling him out, like you're
oh
letting this
God.
Happen. Okay.
I mean,
it's intense.
Yeah, talk about brutal graffiti. Can you imagine walking around the city and then you just see something on a wall that's like, you're not you, Rebecca.
Yeah, wake up. You're not alarming.
No.
By the way, speaking of Deanne, you just made me think, does brutal come from Brutus?
Oh.
I think it kind of
right?
has to.
It kind of has to.
Because this just is lining up.
Side note, I did name one of my previous cars Brutus, just so you guys know.
Oh, okay.
And what were the qualities of the car that inspired you to do so?
It was pretty brutal. It was a beast on the road. No.
Brutus famously was potentially, and Rebecca, tell me if this is true, one of Caesar's illegitimate children.
Okay.
Possibly.
Yes. What? Let's talk more about this. So,
not your car, Clayton.
Oh, not your car.
Thank you for that clarification.
Brutus's mother is Caesar's longtime mistress.
Wait,
Brutus's mother
what?
Is Caesar's
Is this where
mistress.
Your mom jokes come from?
Everything comes from ancient Rome.
Everything.
Honestly, I do think so. So he's Caesar is married. He has a ton of mistresses. But his main one in Rome is this woman, I'm forgetting her name, Civilia. Can you look
Civilia,
her up?
Yeah,
Civilia.
Civilia.
And they're together for like 20 years. And some people say it's possible that Brutus is Julius Caesar's, but I guess he was born when Julius Caesar was 15. So TBD, unclear if he's the actual son.
Okay.
But as we know, Shakespeare, you know, it's possible that his last words were
"Et tu, Brute?"
Well, that was Shakespeare's version.
Right, right.
But it's possible that in real life they were in Greek and it was something like "you too, my child," or "you too, you too, boy." And
interesting. Brutus, there's a sneaky little hint in there of like, I fucked your mom, bye.
Right. Or I was fucking you, bye. Like,
yeah. And Cassius, who's the other general and senator, he also wanted Caesar dead, not just for ambition, but also because of rumors that Caesar had slept with his wife. Who... His wife was Brutus's stepsister, also daughter of Caesar's mistress.
Did we put adultery or like sleeping around on the board?
I mean, it sure makes things complicated.
Sure.
Should we blame Caesar's boner?
Because yes, yes, yes. Like and that. Is it wrong? Also, I just want to put on the record, I have a girlfriend. I'm very much in love with her. We're very monogamous, and that's how I would like to keep it. But the more we're talking about Caesar, the more I'm kind of like, I'm kind of becoming a fan of this guy. I got to be honest.
Wait till you see his boner. Sorry. That was terrible. I'm going to cut that out later.
No, keep it in.
Two booner.
Hey, two booner. Terrible. We're off the rails here, Peter. We're off the rails.
We're off the rails. So, I mean, there's just so much, and we are running out of time. You know, there's Decimus, of course, as we know. He's also in Shakespeare's play. But he misnames him as calls him Decius, and yeah. he only comes out in a scene or so. So for some reason, I guess the history that Shakespeare used to write this play was written by Plutarch, and for some reason Plutarch doesn't include Decimus in his account of the assassination. But he's definitely was there and played a pivotal role in this assassination.
Should we put Pompey up on the board? Is he already up there?
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
I mean, Pompey wasn't around.
Well, Pompey was the other basically major player at the time, right?
And but he's dead.
Dead, but he's part of a huge... Well, without Pompey, there was no essentially civil war, which kind of gave rise to Caesar being named the dictator in perpetuity, or the dictator for 10 years after. So they were political rivals, and it was their competition that spurred on Caesar's sort of like rise to be the ultimate kind of figure in Rome, I think.
Another interesting tidbit is that Brutus, when Pompey and Caesar are having it out and they're just freaking going to civil war, Brutus is on Pompey's side.
Right.
And he fights, you know, at most, mostly all of these senators were on Pompey's side. Then right. when Julius Caesar wins, he, you know, essentially forgives Brutus.
Right.
And then gives him a very important position in government.
Yeah, it's a sort of keep your friends close, enemies closer. But then there's also this thing where he was very known for his generosity of forgiveness, especially after wars. And he kind of used that as a way to garner like more and more so, sort of love, affection, credibility and stuff like that.
Another misconception, though, because he was forgiving for Romans who fought in civil wars, like the generals and the senators, he was forgiving in that sense. But when he conquered Gaul and all of these other territories,
yeah.
he was
outside empires, yeah.
Vicious. He would. There are stories where he would essentially one of his preferred techniques would be to starve out cities, and so so essentially like stay outside like for 30, 40 days. Not let any food go into these walled cities. And then eventually the cities would let go of the children and women, hoping that they would at least have mercy on them. And they would just hold them in areas and let them starve to death.
Again, it's good that as human beings, we've definitely progressed past this point.
One
is doing this to anybody anymore.
Yeah, that's not happening right now.
I also have to interject with the silliest thing ever. I lived in Mexico for a time. This might just be Mexican slang. I'm not totally sure. But every time you say Pompey, it just reminds me of Pompis, which is like, I think, just Mexican slang for butt cheeks.
Yes, yes, that's correct.
I don't know if we
use it singularly like Pompey, but definitely Pompey.
Chris, can you look up the origin of Pompey, the Mexican slang?
No. Mexican phrase for butt cheeks.
Yeah.
I can't. I draw a line on my fact checking and that's the line.
In all fairness.
Is it proper Spanish or like Mexican slang?
It's slang. It's not, and I would say like a lot of different countries use Pompey.
Okay.
It's like, it's actually like cute.
It's cute, yeah.
It's like tush. You're Pompey.
Right.
You're Pompey.
Right. Okay, cute.
Well, I admire your restraint, Rebecca, for not smirking every time. Because I've the whole time I've been like,
we're learning so much in this episode. I mean, we're unfortunately running out of time. You know, we can put Caesar himself for his escalating, growing power.
Okay.
We can also put the changing republic. I'm not sure if we have that yet, but that was a huge part of it.
And by that, you mean just that the republic was transforming anyway. Caesar was just, it was just the timing that he happened to be growing in popularity at the time when the republic felt like it was changing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's probably a whole other...
Mm-hmm.
ball of wax, but that's I like that.
I mean, we can even put Cleopatra up on the board.
We haven't even talked about her.
Another one of his mistresses, and you know, the optics of that relationship were not great for Julius Caesar. Anything else?
I mean
we've got togas, so
it's going to be togas. Let's just
I know what I'm voting for. I'll say that.
Well, let's get to it.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to start knocking things off the board.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Who's to blame for the assassination of Julius Caesar? Is it government-appointed dictator no-no? Extreme wealth? Lack of clearly defined term limits? Perpetuity, the word? Beef with coworkers, bringing a knife to a bar fight? The roominess of togas, being outnumbered? Not bewaring the Ides of March? Wearing the Ides of March, not bewaring them? Decimus, Brutus, Cassius, sleeping around, Caesar's boner, Pompey, Caesar's escalating power, the changing republic, or Cleopatra.
Wow.
Okay.
Quite the board.
Mm-hmm. That's a hell of a board.
So first things, we just knock stuff out, right?
Yeah. Process of elimination here.
Does anything look...
I guess Cleopatra... She's got her own stuff going on, and she does come in at the last minute. Yeah,
you know what? Clear Cleopatra, but put Taylor Swift on the board. There's got to be a woman here we can blame.
I know. It's true. There's not a lot of women.
True. Yeah, that's
maybe
so
they
true.
Needed more women up in the in their upper echelon.
Oh, hello. Would this have happened if there had been female senators?
I mean,
hard to say.
No, it's,
right.
But guys, I gotta say, a lot of this stuff feels pretty legit. I'm having a hard time knowing where to start.
I know.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
I mean, maybe Caesar's boner, but I know that. I mean, you know, we can fold sleeping around into Caesar's boner.
I think we should, because I think it's also Caesar's boner for power.
I love it.
I think it's doing Caesar's boner, as they used to say, does a lot of work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As they used to say. Plutarch wrote about that.
Guys, I'm willing to eliminate the changing republic, but only because personally I don't fully understand what that means and encompasses.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
yeah, it is pretty broad. I mean, we're basically just saying what Rebecca, we're
fearing
kind of just
change.
Saying the politics of the time shifting.
Yeah.
I mean, going, you know, I don't know how to even explain what
that is. I feel like that's fair. We can take it off. And I'm sure a guest expert will explain it in a much better way that we will all understand. And it will eventually probably blame that.
I feel like you can take off being outnumbered because there was all of this was leading to the, you know, like being outnumbered. It's not like he was like in a sudden bar fight kind of situation. Like this was pre-planned. Like he was always going to be outnumbered, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
We could also fold bringing a knife to a bar fight into the roominess of togas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Beef with coworkers, like that's important. I feel
it
like
is.
It's tough.
Should government appoint a dictator? No. Could that fold into beef with coworkers?
I mean, it would cause some beef with coworkers if you were appointing yourself as the dictator, right?
Well, he didn't appoint himself. He was appointed.
Like, he was appointed, but like as you explained, they felt necessary to do that, right?
Yeah, this is what's so weird about this time, too, is that these senators and these other people who are in charge keep kind of pushing Caesar into these new titles and roles, which give him more and more power, all while at the same time being like, oh God, this is bad. Oh God, this is bad. Mm. We can't keep doing this. He's getting too powerful.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it just is very strange. It's sort of this like fait accompli, like inertia that is like leading Caesar down this path.
Damn. It does feel like a lot of things had to conspire in order for everything to work out for this assassination plan.
Right.
Nah, I think it was just Caesar's boner.
You think so?
His ambition. That's basically what we're talking about, right?
Like right.
It's not always good to be, I mean, ambition is good, but too much ambition is just a boner.
Well, let's cut down a few of these. Like extreme wealth, lack of clearly defined term limits, and perpetuity, I feel like can go fold into the dictator no-no.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Sure.
It is fun to consider, though, who was like the original shit stirrer. Because there would have been at some point that somebody was like, hey, so like, what do you think about Caesar these days?
Right.
Somebody started that at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all like, I know. My God, I'm so glad you said it.
Exactly.
The same thought.
And of all of them, it really does feel like Brutus had the most, more of the reason or, you know, it just feels like not only did he have the pressure of the entire city being like, what are you going to do about this? But there's also the family drama and there's the dynamics and.
Yeah, pressure. That's the, like, he has to defend the Republic.
You're not you, Brutus.
Damn.
Haunting. Haunting graffiti to see around your own city.
So I think the escalating power could maybe get rolled into government-appointed dictator no-no, because the dictator was the ultimate, like, destination of the escalating power.
That's true. And Pompey, I feel like...
He started it, maybe, or just he was part of what. But if Pompey wasn't there, then I think Caesar's rise might have been even quicker. So maybe you're right. He should go too.
Before we get rid of Pompey's, can we at least give them a light smack?
I wish it was our contender for the big slap.
I know.
So now we're left with five. And we have a government-appointed dictator, no-no. We've got his beef with co-workers. The roominess of togas. Not bewaring the Ides of March. And his own boner.
We're crushing history right now.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot in not bewaring the Ides of March. He wasn't... Oh, he did try to listen to his wife, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were a lot of signs he was kind of ignoring along the way.
Yes.
And it does seem like this was a time of signs. Like the omens and like soothsayers were much bigger back in that time, right? You paid more attention to that kind of thing, or am I just making
for sure?
Big time. There was, let me see if I could get a list here of the omens.
I think, Clayton, you're probably not wrong that people were paying more attention back then, but I think you're also underestimating how much people and myself are paying attention to astrological accounts on Instagram today.
Oh.
You're okay. I stand corrected.
I'm just saying it's still out there. It's still out there. The signs, the symbols, the angel numbers, the whatnot.
If someone passed me an astrological sign, I probably would pocket it and then get murdered. Is what you're saying, because I'm not paying attention. But
no,
you would survive.
Yeah.
It's a full moon in Virgo, everybody.
Okay, here's what I'm leaning towards, and you tell me what you think. I think we send, I think we send government appointed dictator no-no or Caesar's boner to the alarmist jail. And we slap the roominess of togas.
I'm on board. I was leaning toward government appointed dictator no-no because there's so much rolled up in there.
I agree.
And there's something about the togas, which was just like that. That's what allowed them to get away with it. Because I don't think we can slap the, you know, not listening to the omens.
Well, except for the Ides of March, everything else that's on the board does kind of roll into this like dictator himself, Caesar.
Yeah.
And togas were a great tool in completing the act. So right. That also feels outside of the dictatorship. They just are convenient. So, you know, beware togas. Everyone.
Beware of togas is what he should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I feel I'm going to call it. And, you know, luckily we're going to have an expert. We'll see. We'll see where we land.
Can I tell you, this is the first podcast I've ever been a guest on that the whole time they're like, and don't worry, guys, next time we'll have a better guest. That's smart. So we're going to do it again, but with somebody
offense,
that's
smart. Deanne, you idiot.
this really hurt today. Hurt.
Yes,
Deanne,
yes,
you're like a warm-up. You're like a warm-up. Yeah.
We love to make our guests feel welcome. We're so glad you're feeling it, feeling the love. Okay, I'm going to call it the roominess of togas. You're getting the big slap. Government appointed dictator. No, you're going to the alarmist jail. And I guess Julius Caesar himself got away with it. I mean, he did get murdered.
Yeah. And he was the dictator.
Right.
So
I guess what I should be saying is Brutus got away with it.
Yeah. But he then killed himself.
These seem to have a good life. I mean, the amount of people he was banging, come on.
Exactly.
To be 55? Come on. He was doing fine.
Not worried about him.
Deanne, I mean, you weren't our expert by a long shot. That's all. That's But we still love you. We still
Thank
love you.
You.
And we couldn't have done this without you.
Thank you so much. And I still love you guys. And also Clayton, Chris, do you want to like meet up separately? Just talk about
we'll have
stuff.
I'll send you a Zoom link invite after this. Yeah.
Yeah. I should have known. What am I doing? You know, what a fool.
In the aftermath, Caesar's death backfired on the Senate, who were not prepared for what came next. The public outcry was overwhelming and led to years of infighting and civil wars. In the end, Caesar's adoptive son, Octavian, defeated Mark Antony and emerged to lead Rome and its people. The Alarmist is now on Patreon. Subscribe and get ad-free content along with bonus episodes. Go to patreon.com/thealarmist or check out the link in our show description. Visit our website, www.thealarmistpodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram, @thealarmistpodcast, and on Twitter, @alarmistthe. You can also send us your thoughts via email to thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clayton Early, with editing by Molly Hockey, and fact-checking by Chris Smith. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Crystal Dinsberg. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado Smith. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the cancellation of Armie Hammer. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.